Father, we thank you. We thank you that you spoke life and we became living beings, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for your word of life for us. And I pray that as we just take time in our busy lives to center ourselves on you this very morning, that, Lord God, that you'd minister to us and encourage us in our walk of faith with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Good to see you here this morning. This week, we're starting things a little bit differently than we have for the last couple of weeks. We've been speaking about coming out of the darkness into the light. And there was a prophetic word last week that I shared, and out of it, the Lord was just speaking to my heart as well. And it actually was talking about the words, and that words in our life affect our lives in tremendous ways. And so out of that has come what we're going to be talking about over the next number of weeks. And literally that the spoken word is mission critical to us. In fact, as you look at God's word, it all is the word, isn't it? And in fact, if we look at Jesus himself, you know, he's the personification of the word. You go to John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so that's speaking of Jesus, because if you jump down to verse 14, it says this, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only one from above, full of grace and truth. So we see Jesus, the living Word, full of what? Grace and truth. And that's the kind of word that we're to have in our lives as well. So not only does God speak grace and truth to us, but what are we in turn to do? Speak grace and truth to those around us. Now, I've been in situations where, someone comes along and says, well, brother or sister, and you hear this say, I just want to tell you the truth. That's not always seasoned with grace. You know, when someone says that, it scares me a little bit when they start down that road, when you have to kind of justify that it's going to be the truth. I'm not sure that that's the right motivation. But let me tell you this, Jesus has the right motivation always. When he comes with grace and truth, it's absolutely perfect. And here's how you and I are to be. We're to speak grace and truth as well. Here's the thing. We would not exist today if it wasn't for the spoken word. And we're not going to look at it today, but you look at Genesis, you see over and over again, and God said. And what happened? Stuff happened, right? Now imagine if God just thought about it, if he just kept it on the inside. You know, maybe creation wouldn't even exist because he thought it, then he spoke it, and then the Holy Spirit did it. In other words, speaking has power and authority. And we see that all through the Word. In fact, if you're born again here, how many people are born again, have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you know that your confession brought you to that place? And let's just look at Scripture in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And we have it. It says this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see that your own words actually brought you to the place of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now obviously, it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, but you still had to confess it. There still had to be a verbal confirmation. So here's my point. I believe there's more power in our words than we can imagine. Now here's why I know that, and here's why you know that. Think back to your childhood. Think back to people who maybe encouraged you. They used words to do that, didn't they? What about people who maybe were on the other side, who maybe were discouraging you, speaking words of negativity? You know, maybe you didn't do well at school, and you know, hopefully a good parent would encourage you and say, well, look, let's try to study more. I'll help you do this, do that, to try to help you do better. Instead of, oh, you're just a useless kid. You're never going to amount to anything. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know that a lot of people, that's what they heard when they were at home. You know, from brothers or sisters or from parents or guardians. And then what happens is, as your life goes forward, those words stick to you. They're with you. In fact, words are as deadly as a knife. I remember as a young person, I had a pretty sharp mouth, and a teacher called me aside because I'd said belittled some other kid, and the teacher gave me this illustration of the fact that words are like having a feathered pillow, and you take it outside on a windy day, and if you bang it against a pole long enough, the feathers will all come out. And the teacher said, hey, can you gather up all those little feathers? I said, I'd probably gather up a few, but I won't be able to get them all. And she made the point that those are like our words that go forth, that once they go out, you can't bring them back always. You know, you might be able to say you're sorry, you know, and pull some of them back. But those words have impact on people's lives. And if you want to use this illustration, If you take a knife and you stab somebody, and then you're like, oh my God, I stabbed you, and you didn't mean to, you honestly didn't mean to, and you're apologizing profusely, but meanwhile blood is pouring out of their arteries onto the ground, and they're dying. Well, you can say you're sorry as much as you want. They're dying. You get what I'm saying? And the thing is, our words can be just the same. You could be as sorry can be, but those words have gone out, and they've hurt someone. And so my word of advice, don't say it in the first place. Now, obviously, that's something that you and I have to work at, because we've been conditioned, depending upon our upbringing and the people around us, we can be, you know, quick of tongue, you know what I'm saying? That's why James says to be, you know, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And he's making the point that our words can have such an impact on the people around us. And so our theme scripture is Proverbs 18, verse 21. And it says this, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Isn't it amazing that you can have death and life in the same member of your body? You know what I'm saying? I'm reminded of a story. I was in grade 8, and there was this pretty girl in grade 7 at the same school. And I decided, I'm going to ask this girl out. Now, what I had heard, though, on the same day that I was going to ask this girl out, and this girl was very special to me. She was the first girl I met with a brain, so I'm not putting down any other girls, all right? But she was the first one I could actually have a conversation with. I said, wow, this is really cool. I can actually talk to this person. And so I decided I was going to ask her out. That was what you did back in the day. And I had heard, though, that this other guy was going to ask her out before me. Okay, so I hunted that guy down. Now, you got to remember, I'm not born again, okay? So I hunted this guy down, basically put him up against the wall, and said, if you even say hello to that girl, you're dead. And then 5 minutes later, with that same tongue of death that I just used on that guy, I asked this girl out, and it was Sandra. And you know the story, it carried on, and we're still together today. But here's the thing, words brought death in one case, and in the other case, life in the beginning of a relationship. Let's talk about that for a minute. Every relationship that you have, whether it's with your Heavenly Father or with those around you, with your boss, with siblings, with whoever, is based upon what? Words. You know, with Sandra, it began with, hey, will you go out with me? And, you know, obviously became more than that as time went on. There was interaction of what? Words, exchanges of words. Now, obviously, not just words, but heartfelt words, amen, came from the heart. But words build things just as much as words can destroy things. And so here's my question before I even go on. When you enter a circumstance or situation, wherever it might be, whether at home, at work, at school, are you bringing life? Or are you bringing death? In fact, if you want to bring up the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson puts Proverbs 18:21 pretty clearly. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. And so here's the thing. Again, I ask the question, what are you doing with your words? Because here's the thing. There are no such thing as idle words. They either are bringing life or bringing death. Now, if we look at Jesus, the personification of the word, you know, everywhere he went, he brought life, didn't he? If somebody was blind, he helped heal them. If somebody was lame, he helped heal them. If someone was dead, he brings them back to life. He couldn't even go to a funeral without wrecking it. You know what I'm saying? When he would go to parties, when he would be invited to wedding suppers, you know, he would always be bringing the things that were needed there. He would bring life into it. So when you have a conversation with someone, would they walk away saying, I was encouraged by you? That's my prayer for every person here. That's my prayer for me. How easy is it for all of us, me included, you're talking to someone and they're giving you the woes of life, right? You know, this happened, you know, my dog died, my pickup quit, my wife left me. You it's a country western song, you know, and you're like, oh man, I feel so bad for you. And so here's what's happened. We just got sucked to the same level as them, saying the same words. Instead of, hey, I know somebody that can help you. His name is Jesus. Can I take a minute? Can I pray for you? Can I speak words of life over this situation that you're going through right now? And turn that thing around to a place where we're making a difference. Why? Because God has put his word into us, not just for us to be a Dead Sea and just come to church and say, oh, that's great and enjoy it, but to take it in to do what? To give it out, to give words of life out to those around us. Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you. There are times where so many words have gone out in a circumstance or a relationship that there can be at times almost irreparable damage, if you know what I'm saying. Here's the thing. While that could be true, the Bible says that God is a repairer of the breach. And I believe that God is a God of restoration. And I believe that God is still in the miracle-working business today. Anyone agree with me on that? He still does miracles today. And I believe that though those words have gone out, and literally someone is spiritually bleeding to death because of your words, that I believe God can supernaturally heal them. In fact, it says this in Psalms 107, I think about verse 20. It says, and God says this, I sent forth my word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That's the heart of Jesus for us today, that he brings healing where there's hurt. And words are the way that you and I do that. Amen? And so as we begin to look at this subject today, I just want to share a story with you to help you understand that this is maybe easier said than done. This last summer, I decided to start walking again. I kind of got pushed into it, to be quite honest with you. I used to walk and run years ago, and I got no excuse why I stopped, all right? I got no excuse. There is no excuse. But I got started again, and so where we walk, the little group of us, we meet at like 5:30 in the morning, like, why did I agree to do this again anyway? But it's just the only time that works out, all right? So 5:30 in the morning, and we meet at my house, and where I live on 9G, so to get to Farm Lane, how many people know where Farm Lane is? Part of the Roosevelt Estate. And so I have to walk about a quarter of a mile down 9G to get on Farm Lane. And so there's three of us that we're going along one day, and I'm the guy at the back. Now, I'm at the back for a reason. I'm the slowest. That's just the reality of it. I'm also bear bait. The idea is that if a bear comes out, they can run away, and since I'm the slowest runner, I get eaten and they don't. They say that that's not true, but I'm pretty sure that that's why they have me at the back. So anyway, so we're walking down in the middle of the dark. So in the middle of the dark, it's dark. We're walking down 9G to get to Farm Lane, and there's three of us. So I'm, you know, one, two, and I'm at the back. All right. And so we see this car coming along. So I'm telling you this story because it has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about right now. It will connect, okay? So just, can you stay with me for a minute? Okay. So here we are. We're walking along, and we see this car coming. And just before that, I had said out loud, I said, guys, you know, I think we should have a name. I think it'd be good to have a name, right? And just as I said that, this car is coming along, and it's pitch black. You understand? So you see the headlights. It's a little foggy, and you see the headlights. And all of a sudden, we see three headlights. Now, the person in the front goes, what? You know, and I hear that. And then, so picture this. We're all in a line on the side of the road. So the first person says, what? And the next person goes, huh? And they put their head out. And then there's me. I go, what? And so you got three heads. Boom, 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 all right? So as these lights are getting closer, the car's getting closer and closer, all of a sudden I yell, bike! It turned out that it was a bicycle riding beside a car, and we would have got run over. So we actually had to jump out of the way at the last second. So here's the thing. The name became solidified. Deer in Headlights Running Club. I have absolute sympathy for every single deer that perishes on the roads now. I was one of them. I was there looking at the headlights, not understanding what was going on. I totally can relate to deer. So listen, we have a little mercy on the deer, all right? It's not their fault, all right? So now to this part of the story that's actually important, okay? So here we are. We get to Farm Lane. It's totally pitch black because with the trees and everything, it's dark, like really dark. So the people I run with, they're professional runners, all right? Like, I don't really run. I kind of like jog, walk. I call it slogging. That's my own name I come up with, all right? Like, I just kind of, I move forward, and that's the important part. But, you know, they got special clothing that breathes, you know. They have custom-made running shoes. Who does that? You know what I'm saying? That's just, man, I got a pair of Skechers from Walmart for $29.95, and I'm just happy they don't fall off when I run. I'm just, you know, they're decked out. They got all the earbud stuff. I can't wear earbuds and run. They fall out of my ears. I just can't get it right. So they're all prepped up and they're going along doing their thing. Now here's the thing. I'm running one day with them, trying to keep up, like going, you know, sucking air, mostly air, and just trying to stay alive. And all of a sudden I realized, man, I've got a beat in my head too. And in fact, I've got a song as well. And let me tell you a little bit about what the beat is. The beat is actually my heartbeat. Okay, as the blood's going up my carotid artery and my ears are pulsating. That's probably why my earbuds would fall out all the time, because my ears are going like this. And so I'm hearing this beat, and here's the song I'm hearing in my head. You're going to die, die, die if you keep running, running, running. And I just keep hearing that over and over and over again. And then I still hear another little voice in the midst of all that saying, you can do this. Just keep going. And so as I think about this, I'm hearing different words. There's three parts of me. My body, and it's saying, stop, I hurt, my knees hurt, my feet hurt, every muscle you don't even know hurt, you know what I mean? And it's transmitting that information to my brain, and my brain is saying, stop, 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 you're going to die. But then there's another part in the inside, deep down inside my heart, where the Holy Spirit is, saying, you can overcome. You can beat this thing. Yeah, you've abused your body for a few years. Now you're paying the price, but you can overcome this. And that's the voice I choose to listen to. What voice do you choose to listen to in your life? The voice of the flesh? The voice of the unredeemed part of your mind that's telling you whatever it's telling you, that you can't, that you're unable, that you're insufficient? Here's the thing. We sang a song called No Longer Slaves, and part of the line of that says that you're a child of God now. You know, though your parents or guardians or some idiot at school was calling you names and putting you down, now you're a part of another household. And in that household, the Bible says that what's over you is a banner of love. What's over you are words of encouragement, where God wants to tell you that he loves you and he cares for you and he's got this awesome plan for your life. But which voice are you listening to right now as a believer? The problem is that we have mixed voices. So we have what? Mixed messages going on inside of our brain all the time. And the question is, what voice are you going to listen to? The voice that brings life, or the one that you've been listening to or had listened to in the past that brings what? Death. Amen. Because it's life or death. There are no idle words in our lives. And so really, we need to be encouraged with that. So how can we strengthen that inner voice on the inside? If you have your Bibles, go to John chapter 15. There's a portion of Scripture here. It's a familiar portion of Scripture, and often it's taught for a different reason. But in the midst of it, God is, I believe, speaking to us this morning. So John 15, beginning at verse 1. Jesus is speaking. Now, I've heard this by preachers in the past. Here's what they say. Read the red and pray for power. Get a red letter Bible. How many people own a red letter Bible? Let me tell you why it's important. Those are the words of Jesus. That's my Savior speaking to me words of life. Amen? And so here he is. It's in red. That's what I've got in my Bible. And he says this in verse 1, John 15, verse 1. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Look at that, right there in the midst of it. Now, I'll be honest with you, until I did that series on coming out of the darkness, I never thought about that he spoke his word over us. There it is right there. We're clean because of his word. So many times we disconnect ourselves from the vine of Jesus because we feel unclean, we feel unworthy, we feel unable. Here's the thing. He speaks over you and says, you are clean. He declares that you're clean. Why? Because of his blood. He gave his blood so that you could be connected to the vine as a branch. Isn't that amazing? He did it for you. So when you are having a day where you feel like, man, I don't deserve it, that's all the more reason to thank Jesus with your voice. Amen? To proclaim his mercy and his grace and his truth over your life. So look at verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So basically, Jesus is going back and forth saying, look, you got to be connected to me to be able to bear fruit. And it goes on. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Some versions say this, no good thing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So basically, the Lord is making it clear that if we don't remain connected, that Jesus literally is our sustenance. He's our lifeline. How many people know that? He is your lifeline, and it's important to remember that and remind yourself, verbally remind yourself. You know, in the morning when I wake up, there's lots of times Sandra hear me saying, thank you, Jesus. And you know what I'm saying to him? Thank you that I have another day to worship you. Thank you, Lord, that I have another day to follow you. Thank you, I have another day to hear your voice. You know, just always grateful and verbalizing it. Listen, when you pray on the inside, can God hear you? He can. But here's the thing. Sometimes you need to hear yourself. And so what happens is when you speak out words, and that's what Jesus did. If you look at everything that he did, he didn't say to his disciples, okay, I'm just going to say a silent prayer. He never did that. He always spoke out. And we need to do that as well so we can hear the words of life that we're proclaiming going in our ears. We just need to do that. And so here's where we're going to get to this, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. And so often the context of this portion of Scripture is talking about bearing fruit. And obviously, it's primarily speaking of the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. You know, you think of the fruit, love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Should we bear those fruits? Absolutely. But I believe that Jesus is saying something more as well. That's true. But he's saying something more as well. Back to verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. In other words, if you're connected, as the branch, if you're connected to the vine, you will ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. So all of a sudden now, as we allow God's word to be a part of us, we then can begin to speak God's word and it will come to pass. Now listen to me, this is not a scripture then to say, oh, well, I kind of like a brand new Mercedes, or I'd like a brand new BMW, or I'd like a brand new house, or I'd like this. Listen, this is not talking about name it and claim it, or blab it and grab it. You get what I'm saying? It's not about that. That's not what this is talking about, because if it was, it would mean just say whatever comes to your mind. But the context of this is as you, as the branch, is engrafted into the vine, and the sustenance of God is going into you, the Spirit of God is going into you, then you know what God's desire is, and it becomes your desire. It's synonymous. So then when you speak the word, it's not your word, it's his word through you. All you're doing is proclaiming the truth of God, and it will come to pass, because it's not your strength. It's not, in Jesus' name, make this. It's not like you're trying to make something happen. You just proclaim it and it happens. You see, we're just a vessel that God flows through to proclaim who he is. And I believe that there's times where you and I have been stifled from that. And we need to come to a place of realizing that that's what God has called us to do. You know, sometimes we have to remind ourselves that when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, the other half of that was Lord, Lord and Savior. And that when we've surrendered our lives to him, we literally have said, Jesus, I belong to you. And literally we gave him permission to engraft us into his Spirit. Because that's really what this is talking about, to be connected to him. And so as you and I begin to do this at a greater level, here's what happens. Our words will carry more power. See, it's not about you becoming more powerful. It's about him becoming more powerful in and through you. Amen? So how does this work? And that's... We had a great time at the first service, so we're going to do this again. I need to show you a scripture, and then we're going to show you what this scripture means for you and I today. If you have your Bibles, again, if you'll turn to Luke 18. This will be our last scripture for the day. In Luke 18. And again, this is the premise for this entire series, the fact that God wants us to understand what the spoken word is. Okay, so in Luke 18, Jesus tells a parable. In verse 1, he says this, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men ought to always pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So as Jesus is telling us this parable, who are some of the key actors in it? Go on, name, who's some of the... The widow. So you got the widow, right? She's in the story. Who else is part of the story?
The judge.
Okay, and obviously, and sometimes people leave this out, you've got the narrator, who's Jesus, right? And so you got those three main people. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Got a couple volunteers here. Okay, Liliana, come on up. And where's Mr. Lord? Okay, so this is our widow. Okay? Okay, you got to look like a widow. She's very sad. All right? She's our little widow. Okay. She's doing a perfect job. Okay. And this is the judge. Yeah, now he's acting. You see? All right. Wow. Now look at that scowl. I don't think I'd even want to go to court with that. Okay. So in the story, what happens, right? We've got the widow has a problem. Somebody has done something to her. We don't know what it is, but she has an adversary that has hurt her in some way. And what has she decided to do? To go to the judge. Okay, so she goes to the judge. And she's begging. Oh, man, just turn. Oh, man. All right, you might as well just go home. All right, so she goes home. All right. And what do you do now? Do you just give up? No, what do? All right. Man. All right, so you can see what's happening, and we could do this like all day, because you get the impression that this widow kept going back and forth and back and forth. And the judge said, and it says this in Scripture, he didn't care about man, didn't care about people, didn't care about God, but it does say something. Okay, come back the last time. All right. So by persistence, as we saw in the Scripture reading and the acting, we see that the judge finally said, I just don't want to deal with this widow woman anymore, and fine, she can have the request. All right, here's the thing. Jesus, as he tells that story, I remember as a young believer reading that Scripture, and the impression I had was this, that God was like the unjust judge, and we need to keep going back to him till we finally get what we want. That's not what that Scripture says. We need another actor. So, Ian, will you come on up? We need God on the scene. You want to grab the chair there? We need God on the scene here, because this changes the dynamics of this completely. Because Jesus would never say that his Father is like the unjust judge. So let's paint this story the way it's supposed to be now. Okay. So we still have the same scenario. The widow has a problem. So she goes to the unjust judge.
Your widow.
So here's the difference now. What does the widow do when she goes home? And what's implied? You see, don't think that I'm taking something from Scripture. In verse 1, you look at Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus premises the entire story by saying this, that men ought to pray and not give up. Okay? But is she praying to the judge? No, she's bringing her petition. Okay. So she goes back again, right?
Yeah.
So what does she do? Does she just go home and say, woe's me? Oh, see now, all of a sudden, the father takes the daughter in his arms. What a great picture, right? And what does the father say? And so what happens this time?
Fine, get it, go.
So she's happy now. All right, now let's just paint this picture for a little bit. Yeah, he's... He's bigger than you. He's taller. Yeah.
Come on. You want to
Just so you know, Pharaoh didn't do so well when he did that. All right. Yeah. Just so you know. So listen, the judge doesn't care about people, doesn't care about God. And so here's the widow comes along, And what is this a picture for us? See, this is the most amazing thing. This is a picture of us. We're like the widow, trying to do the right thing, proclaim truth, speak all the good stuff. You're happy now, so you don't have to be slouching. Okay. Donnie represents the world. World doesn't really care about people, really. They care about themselves. Doesn't care about God. And so here we are as believers, dropped into this behind the enemy lines kind of place. And yet God is still at work. So when the widow comes, she does her part, speaking the truth, speaking what's right. And even though the judge says no, what does she do? She doesn't give up, but keeps praying. She goes back to her father and says, what do I do now? And the father gives instruction, and she keeps going back. Till when? Till the circumstances change. You know, I've heard this acronym for prayer, PUSH. Pray until something happens. I kind of like that. And so with this picture now you can understand the heart of God. This is what Jesus was trying to convey. Not that God's some miserable, you know, jerky judge, but that's the world. You're not. Don't take this personally, all right? But rather that we as God's people are to be perseverant in interfacing with the world, still speaking the truth, still doing what's right, but getting our strength out of our time of prayer. And here's why I know that's a fact. You look at verse 8 of that same parable. He says this, when I return, will I really find people who have faith on the earth? Will I really find people who trust me at my word, will keep speaking my word, even though there's adversity, even though there's difficulties, and keep coming back to me for instruction so I can go and deal with the world? That's the heart of God. Thank these guys. Thank you. Amen. Lauren, you want to come up? We're going to close in prayer. Well, we're going to close with a song and then with prayer at the end of the song. Again, this is kind of an intro to this whole subject of the spoken word. Why don't we stand together? You know, I just want you to consider your life for a minute. You know, you are the sum total of the words that have been spoken to you, whether positive or negative. You are where you are in your life as a result of words. Now, here's the cool part. God's got good words for you. So regardless of whether you're in a good place or you're not, God wants to speak life into you. And so as this song is being sung, I encourage you to just, in your own heart, just go before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, have I accepted some lies in my life? Have I accepted some untruths? And then, Lord, what is your truth to replace that lie so that I can walk on with you? You see, God's in the business of speaking life into you. That's his heart. And if you're hearing words of negativity, that is not the voice of the Spirit of God. And so right now, let's do business with God. And again, let's sing, but take a few minutes in your own heart and just ask God, where am I at with this whole word thing? Do I bring life to circumstances that I go to, or am I bringing death? Lord, help me to guard my tongue, to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. Go ahead.
I'm caught up in your presence. I just want sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't. I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry. just sing another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda.
Want to be branches connected to the vine. Lord God, that we hear you and then we speak what we hear from you. That we speak words of life and of encouragement to those around us. That we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. That maybe right now there's no one right now right around us to encourage us. That we need to be as David was. That we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord at that one point in his life where everyone around him was murmuring against him and he had to encourage himself in you. And speak your word over his own life. So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I speak your word over each person here right now. Words of encouragement, Lord. Words of life. Words of healing. Words of restoration. Words of goodness. Words of love. Words of compassion. Words of grace. Words of mercy. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for every single person here. And the Lord God, that we would watch, we would guard our mouths this week. That we would be sensitive to that. Knowing that words bring life or death, and that we would be life bearers this week. Lord, I thank you for every person here. Bless them. Be with them this week. I pray that they have a greater God consciousness than ever before. Because, Lord, you are with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. So bless each one right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.